whether it was right, fully right. And I'm going to be talking about the overflow of the Holy Spirit, and Jimmy came and shared that word, and I think that was directly for me, from the Lord. Now, I think it may well have been for other people too, but I just want to encourage you that in listening to the Lord, because it's so exciting hearing you speak, and that's exciting for all of us, isn't it, to hear the Lord using our young people, and the fact that the Lord would just affirm a word to me through this young man is just really exciting. So yeah, that's what I'm going to be talking about, basically, about an overflow of the Holy Spirit. So excuse me getting emotional, because I always do, and I will try and hold it together. Okay, where's my PowerPoint coming up? Okay, I'm going to be talking about the miraculous capture of fish in John. There's two accounts of this happening in the life of Peter. One in is recorded in Luke's Gospel, in Luke chapter 5, where Jesus calls Peter and does this amazing miracle for him, asks them to cast their nets into the water on the other side of the boat, and they haul in an incredible catch of fish. And then the one I'm going to be talking about is from John chapter 21, and this takes place after Jesus has been crucified, and he has started to appear to his disciples again. And it just reaffirms to Peter the calling on his life. Okay, so let me just read you that. I'll set the scene, basically. So Jesus has risen again after being crucified, and he has started to appear. As we read through these the last chapters of the Gospel of John, he appears several times. He appears to many of the disciples. He appears to Thomas, and Thomas puts his hand into Jesus' side. Many of you may well know these stories. And he's also spoken to his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Okay, so chapter 21 then. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning, coals there with fish on it, and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, and even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Okay, so this must have been just a massive anticlimax. These guys had spent 3 years in ministry with Jesus. They'd seen demons cast out. They'd seen people miraculously healed. And then they'd seen him crucified on the cross. And everything, the whole world must have fallen apart. Everything they thought was happening. They hadn't really grasped, I don't think, who Jesus was. And you just get the sense at the beginning of this chapter of them just going, oh well, that's it, I suppose. And Peter says, I'm going to go out and fish. And, you know, it's the only thing he knew. But what I want to pick up on is the way that he speaks, I'm going out to fish, because unwittingly he speaks this commission on his life into being. And I want to sort of draw that out, because I don't necessarily want to concentrate on the amazing thing that happened to Peter and the amazing thing that was about to break out, but on the truth of what he was speaking. And I want to encourage us really to think about the calling on our lives. This man, a broken, disappointed, disillusioned man, ordinary man, who was able to speak the truth and God unleashing his power, really, in his words. Okay. I wonder whether any of you have had an awesome encounter with the Holy Spirit, and then there's a sort of sense of what next? I really like the way that Jesus used Peter's language to speak to him. All Peter knew was fishing. And so this is the way that Jesus chose to commission Peter. I want you to just get a sense of the fact that he was such an ordinary man, yet God was able to do the extraordinary with him. Nikki used that the verse from Ephesians 3, verse 20, that he can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. If we look back into the Gospels, we see this Peter, who's just a bit useless, really. He's just so ordinary. When Jesus is taken away to be crucified, he follows behind, and we know the story where he denies knowing him three times. There's the account where of the transfiguration, where some of the disciples go with Jesus up onto a mountain, and they see Jesus transfigured, and he becomes shining. And they witness him speaking to Elijah and Moses, I think. And Peter sort of says, oh, let's build a shelter. He just misses the point, really, wanting to make something holy about the event, but yet seems to misunderstand. And in the account in John, it even says he didn't know what he was saying, really. But then in Matthew 16, Peter shows an amazing understanding of who Jesus is. As Jesus asks, who do people say I am? And then he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter confesses that he's the Christ, son of the living God. And Jesus says he can only say that because the Holy Spirit allows him to say that. And then moments later, he tries to dissuade Jesus from going to be crucified. And Jesus has to rebuke him. He must have felt like a bit of an idiot. Just wonder whether you have ever felt that you've been cruising, the Lord's doing amazing things, and then you do something a bit silly and you feel disillusioned. I want you to identify with Peter this morning, in the fact that he was so ordinary and he's so like us in so many ways. So as we read through, we come to the end of the Gospel of John, and you can start reading the accounts in the beginning of Acts. Peter is changed, full of the Holy Spirit, and it starts at Pentecost. But I want to pick up a little bit on what Jimmy said about this overflowing of the Holy Spirit. I want you to get a sense of the abundance. I want you to get a sense of that full net. It wasn't just a few fish. It wasn't just the fact that they hadn't got any and then they'd got a few. It's this net. It's bursting. This net is so full they can't actually pull it onto the boat and they had to tow it in. I want you to get a sense of the overflowing nature of the Holy Spirit this morning. I want you to get a sense of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it starts with Pentecost then. The account in Acts 2 is this wind blowing through the upper room. They're hiding in the upper room. The Jews are trying to kill the disciples, trying to keep them quiet. And this wind blows through and there's fire on their heads and they start speaking in other languages. And then they're out on the streets and people are gathering. I don't quite know how that happens. It doesn't say how that happens, but somehow or other they're down on the street and they're speaking in these languages and people are saying, what's going on? What's going on? There's this overflow from this upper room out onto the streets of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, I'll read you a few of those words. Again, we've had that a reference this morning to that account in Joel where Peter stands up and he brings that beautiful prophecy from the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. It's not just the odd anointing. It's a pouring out. I want you to receive this pouring out. People thought they were drunk. It isn't just a small stirring of a few people being a little bolder. It's the biblical revival. And it has kept happening. There's accounts through history of this happening over and over again. If you only need to look at the Azusa revival, Azusa Street revival, when these things were happening, these same accounts. And the testimonies are the same. I read some beautiful testimonies from the Welsh revival in the 1800s. The accounts were that you had a full gospel hall and people were praying and people were singing and they were singing Here is love vast as the ocean, and then suddenly there's just this breakout of the Holy Spirit and people start repenting, people start running forward, and there's just this massive change that just rocked the nation. Apparently the pubs were empty. Apparently the graffiti on the walls it wasn't abusive language. It wasn't ugly language. People were plastering gospel tracts on the bridges and on the walls. As Peter stands up to preach, it says that people were cut to the heart. People said, what should we do? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think it's just important that we get this right. If you have come to the cross and you have repented and you've been baptized, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. You won't just experience the Holy Spirit, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter was just changed so dramatically. When he was arrested, he stood up before the Sanhedrin. He spoke the word of God boldly. I was encouraged a few weeks ago by what Andy Richards shared with us from St. Ives, because he was talking about this boldness, and this boldness comes with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 3, when they heal the beggar at the gate of Solomon, Peter says, "Why do you stare at us? Why are you surprised? Are we surprised?" Peter was just a timid country boy who overreacted with false courage before he was filled with the Spirit. But then when he was full of the Holy Spirit, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was filled with a God-given power. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, "Don't get drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." It's an ongoing thing. It's a daily thing. We need to ask. We want to be filled, Lord. Filled to overflowing. So I want to encourage you, really, to take the next step. If you've come to the cross, if you've repented, you've been baptized, I want you to just really ask this morning. I want you to ask the Lord, what next? For Peter, he said, "I'm going to go out to fish." And I want you to ask the Lord, what is it that the Lord has laid on your heart to do? I want to challenge you for your commission, really. As you know, we've been eagerly desiring the gift of prophecy amongst this congregation. As it says in 1 Corinthians, it says that we should eagerly desire. And I hope that many of you have been encouraged by our efforts. And even if you've not been a direct part of the group, I hope that you've been touched or encouraged by words spoken to you. I just want to encourage you, really, that those words that may have been spoken to you, I believe, can come to life, and we unwittingly speak these words out. As Peter says, "I'm going to go out to fish," a small statement from a broken man who's a bit disillusioned, exhausted. He spoke a prophetic word that changed history forever. I kind of imagine that the Holy Spirit and Jesus get up to all sorts of tricks, and there's this sort of sense of them maybe setting up a door and balancing a bucket. It's a bit like Dennis the Menace, and this bucket is full of living water, and they're sort of hiding behind the desk going, "Peter's going to walk into it in a minute." And as he walks through the door, this bucket of living water comes crashing down on him, and his life is radically changed. I want you to catch a sense of the joy this morning of this life and this outpouring that the Holy Spirit wants to do for us. Things may seem daily grind normal to you. Maybe you had an experience once. Maybe God called you a long time ago. It felt right at the time, maybe, but you can't quite apply that call. I just pray that the Lord is stirring you afresh this morning. And I'm asking you to recall that word and speak it this morning. In John 7, Jesus talks about an overflow of living water flowing out from us. If we're full of the Holy Spirit, that living water flows out from us and touches people. God will do immeasurably more than we can possibly ask or imagine. Okay. I do believe that the repentance is the point that we have to come to, and I don't want to skip ahead and get too excited about the Holy Spirit without having to deal with those things. I believe that repentance is really, really important. And I was led to the passage in John, where it's the account of the crucifixion by John, and he witnesses Jesus on the cross, already dead, and the Romans thrust a spear into his side, and out from him comes a flow of blood and water. Now, there's a scientific explanation for what actually happened, but I want you to catch a sense of that living water that flowed from Jesus' body. And I had to skip back to the prophecy in Zechariah. It's chapter 12, verse 10. And it says, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child. I believe there's a mourning that has to happen in repentance as we come to the cross that is so, so important. And I've been singing over the last few days the words of that, this is love vast as the ocean, and the words from that are from the Mount of Crucifixions, crucifixion, fountains open deep and wide through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Flows out from Jesus' body, from the crucifixion, us coming to a point of repentance, and then that overflow of life flowing from Jesus' body. It says grace and supplication. Supplication is prayer. Jesus pleads for us in the throne room of God. Okay, I had a few words that I wanted to share that the Lord has been laying on my heart, and I think they're words that I hope will encourage you and might speak to a few of you individually. I've been trying to record words that the Lord brings to me, and I just feel the Lord is speaking to us about pressure problems. We've had all sorts of interesting pressure problems, and we've had to call Anglian Water and try and sort out the fact that we don't have enough water pressure in our house. And I just feel the Lord is speaking about pressure problems. And if there's anyone here that feels that can't quite get through, maybe you recall a call on you and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you want that release, I feel this is for you. I just feel that there's a pressure building, and that the Lord is going to release you this morning. I also had another word that I feel maybe for someone in particular. We were reading the Little House on the Prairie to Amelia, and it really struck me at the end of the story, where they had to up sticks and move because the land was going to be given over to the Indians. And there was a sense that there was a call on their life. There was a call, and they had to be obedient, and they had to up sticks and leave behind what they had established. And I just wonder if there's someone here this morning that feels that they've established something, that they've spent time establishing something, and that it is something good, and it has been good for you for a season. You've planted vegetables, you've made preparations for the next year, but the Lord is calling you on to something new, and you're going to have to leave that behind. I really feel this strongly for someone this morning, and I want to encourage you to be obedient to the Lord this morning and to listen to him. And if this is for you, then we want to pray for you, and we want to see you released maybe into a new ministry, into a new a period of your life that's going to bring blessing. Okay, so really... I think it would be good to maybe just play some music, and we'll just I just want to pray really for these things, that there's just the Lord will just bring this release. I think maybe just stay where you're sitting, actually, and just... Sorry, I've got your... Oh, I've messed up your papers too, Toby.
Don't worry.
Okay, I want to pray. I'm going to turn off this, so...